And welcome back to Cool Science Radio. I'm John Wells here with Lynn Ware Peake. The Virtual Identity Summit takes place at the Canyons Village November 6 and 7. And orchestrating the summit is Morph 3D, a Utah-based company that helps those building virtual reality and augmented reality platforms. If you're not sure what that means, well, stay tuned. We're going to define everything for you. Virtual Identity Summit will host some of the world's leaders in virtual and augmented reality, which are blurring the line between reality and illusion. And to borrow the words of Jeremy Bailenson, who will be at the summit, pushing the limits of our imagination and granting us access to any experience imaginable. That sounds pretty good to me. We're joined in the studio by Chief Operating Officer of Morph 3D, Matt Wilborn, and Burke Fry, who's the VP of Innovation. Gentlemen, welcome to Cool Science Radio.
Thanks for having us. We're pretty stoked to be on Cool Science.
Oh, yeah. Well, so Lynn and I are sort of curious lay people, and our listeners, for the most part, are as well. So let's start with some definitions. We've got VR, AR, MR, and XR. So maybe help us with definitions and give us an example of each.
All right. I'll take a stab at that. Really, I think what you've seen, you have AR, MR, VR, XR. Those are all advancing to just one term, XR, which stands for mixed reality. I think initially when people started developing these technologies and these platforms, they saw them as a silo type of thing. But now I think collectively they look at these, you know, augmented reality was, you know, placing a, you know, 3D digital content, augmenting your real world. Mm-hmm. Virtual reality was a completely immersive experience. And I think mixed reality, MR, or XR, those are one and the same. Now they're just saying it as one blanket term because they see these two technologies, these platforms, AR, VR, as being kind of the same experience, a blended reality.
So they're all under the umbrella of XR. So for an example, totally immersive experience would be me to put some goggles on and be swimming with sharks. And then the augmented reality would be if a cartoon character of Jacques Cousteau swam up beside me and I had a conversation with him. Would that be an example?
Yeah, I think in that second example, that would be, it'd be sort of like a wall in your actual room where you're sitting or standing. The wall opens up and the fish swims in or a person swims in and you're still present in the room that you're in. You still see everything and everybody and you can interact with them. But there's something else in the room with you that is visual to you because you have the headset on.
Ah.
Okay. So Morph 3D is a Salt Lake-based company. And it's interesting when I flip through the pages of your website, and it's probably because I am such a lay person, I still wondered, okay, now what exactly is it that they do? You know, you kind of help people who are building platforms and building avatars for gaming. But expand on that, if you would.
So Morph 3D, we represent a pretty important component for mixed reality, and that's the avatar. When you go into an augmented or a virtual experience, you have to represent yourself somehow, some way. Just like in real life, we make decisions on how we present ourselves, and we use our bodies to communicate and our faces and in virtual reality, you actually need to do the same thing. You're going into a virtual world. When you interact with another human virtually, you have to have an avatar that represents your movements and your voice and your facial expressions. And so we build the technology and the content that helps you create your virtual self.
Okay. And from what I understand, and it makes sense that the first time that, well, many of us here in Park City are only experienced with virtual reality is when Sundance comes to town and you can go in and see some of the technology that's being used. But I would imagine that the advancement is in, say, facial expressions and learning how to crack that, the nuances and the subtleties of facial expression, things like that.
The facial expressions, the cat, you know, so there, maybe there's two ways to look at the advances that are taking place. Definitely, you've got these hardware makers, which actually will be represented at this summit, that are ever trying to push the limits of how they capture you, your real movements, your facial expressions, your voice, you know, the way your mouth moves, the way your body moves, and then to translate that data into the virtual world. And then there's the other side, which is, you know, advancements on how to take that data and represent it in unique and interesting ways. The Morph 3D team is on that other side trying to take that data and make it do cool things. Like, is it, you know, are you in a virtual world a unicorn versus a human? And how do you take the movement of a human and translate that to a unicorn? Those are things we actually have to consider at work.
I have a business question for you. I was reading in Hamilton Partners' brief last night that virtual reality is growing 44.5% to $17.8 billion by 2020. So it's double digits, roughly 22% a year, which is great. And AR growth, tremendous growth, 85% to $161 billion by 2020, about 43% per year. And yet the shipments of VR headsets went down 33% last year. Is that an anomaly? Is that indicative of where the technology is going?
Yeah, so I think the expectations for AR and VR since about 2014 when Oculus was purchased by Facebook, those expectations have gone all over the place. We've seen these gigantic numbers. We've seen VR outpacing AR in some forecasts, but I think where the forecast is kind of coalescing right now is VR is going to continue to grow. It's constrained right now by expensive hardware, mostly. Most people can't afford the laptop that you need and the headset that you need to run it. Where VR is going in that respect, the headsets have become untethered, where you don't have to be connected to a laptop or a big expensive computer. That's going to open up the market for VR to grow when you have the hardware costs come down. AR is a different story, and the reason why you see AR now forecasted to grow so much faster and so much to such a higher number is because more devices can become AR-enabled. Your phone, if you have the latest Apple and Samsung devices, they're already AR-enabled, and they're early versions of what AR means, but they're already capable of providing an AR experience. Pokemon Go was probably the one that the example that I think most people are familiar with. That's an AR experience because it's augmenting the world around you, and you have this interactive and fun experience. I know there are more like that are coming, and I think that's what's going to drive that growth. So if in the last year or so the numbers have gone up and down, the industry's kind of expected that. And I think most of that is based on the cost of hardware and getting devices in people's hands.
Well, on the laptop and the desktop side, graphical processors, the pricing has gone up a good bit because you've got people mining for bitcoins, competing with SETI that's trying to find, you know, new intelligence around the world, and gaming and things like that. Are the virtual reality and the XRs, are they competing? Are they looking for a graphical processor? Is that an integral part of the pricing we're talking about?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, it would have been a smart bet to buy NVIDIA stock probably 2 years ago when all of this stuff started to happen, because the graphics card does most in 3D rendering, which is what you're doing with you know, mixed reality technologies like AR or VR. The graphics card does all the heavy lifting, and so yeah, you always want the latest and greatest. And you know, so trying to, you know, keep your prices down, I imagine that's a pretty difficult challenge for these hardware manufacturers.
Well, the SETI people were complaining that they couldn't get hardware because all the Bitcoin miners were heating their homes.
Yeah, I imagine that's the same problem for you know, HTC or, you know, any Oculus as well.
If you're just joining us, we are speaking with Matt Wilburn and Burke Fry of Morph 3D. It's a company based in Salt Lake City, and they are at the helm of organizing the Virtual Identity Summit that's taking place November 6th and 7th. That's Tuesday and Wednesday at Canyons Village here in Park City. And let's talk about the summit a little bit in terms of who's your target audience? Would folks like John and I be interested? Would we understand? Are you targeting at those already in the gaming world? You have some really, really impressive keynote speakers coming. Jeremy Bailenson, I have his book right here. He's the founding director of the Stanford Virtual Human Interaction Lab. Lisa Joy, the co-creator of Westworld. I mean, yeah. Wow. And the list really goes on. You've got about 15 people coming to speak.
Yeah. So, you know, it may seem like a high-minded thing for us as an avatar company. I mean, that's a fun, we're an art business and we're in the business of identity and self-expression. This may seem like a much bigger thing, and it is. We feel like we're an important starting point for people's virtual experiences. And because of that, over the last couple of years, we've had the opportunity to meet and work with some of the most like amazing people. And there's a like-minded interest here in how this tech, how emerging tech like AR and VR changes fundamentally like the nature of humanity, how we interact with each other, how we express ourselves, how we identify ourselves. That's going to change everything in culture, everything in the way it can change, everything from education to entertainment to the way we socialize and the way you experience things that you could never experience before. And because of that, we wanted to bring all these voices together for what we think is the first time anywhere focused on this conversation of how the tech changes our humanity in good ways, bad ways. We want to explore that. And I think if we do our job right, anybody who comes from whatever background is going to have more questions than there are answers. And we want this to be kind of a touch point where you start having this conversation in a more public and inclusive way. So if you're interested in tech, this is right up your alley. If you're interested in kind of the social sciences and the research side of just what does this mean? How does this affect me on a social and kind of human level? I think that's interesting too. So enthusiasts to professionals to academics, man, look at the lineup of speakers on the website. And if any of that appeals to you, you're welcome to join us.
Yeah, it's fascinating. The website is virtualidentitysummit.com. Don't mix that up with Virtual Reality Summit, which is what I was calling it to begin with. It's Virtual Identity Summit, and it's taking place at Canyons Village November 6th and 7th. And you've got a full day of speakers both days. And, you know, I think the interesting thing that you talk about is the human aspect of mixed reality. If you take, for example, Jeremy Bailenson, his background is in psychology. And this is a really good starting point for those of us who didn't grow up with technology to say that there is a very human aspect, as you say, Matt. I think that virtual reality, mixed reality, is all about creating empathy and compassion. It helps along those lines. And there's an example of, you know, members of United Nations embodying a young girl in a refugee camp going through day-to-day life. It helps them make decisions about how to serve those people. And maybe you can expand on that.
Yeah, you know, I think it's been called an empathy engine, and that's a weird thing for tech to be called, that it creates empathy. But when you understand kind of the examples like the one you just shared, you see how it can do that. If we're able to put somebody or allow someone to embody an avatar in a virtual experience where it's you're stepping literally into the shoes of another person who's very different from you, a person of a different race, a different species. You're a shark. You're a whale being hunted. You're a person of a different gender. You can embody people who are different from you, and you can live a few moments in their lives. Courtney Cogburn from Columbia University is one of the speakers, and she created an experience called the Thousand Cut Journey, and it gives people an opportunity to embody a young person of color, a fictional character named Michael Sterling, and you experience for the 10 or 12 minute application, you experience being discriminated against at different points in his life. That's an experience that most people who don't normally, that's not part of their life. That's an experience where you maybe go beyond empathy because you've experienced firsthand yourself what it's like for someone to feel discriminated against in a way that you just can't see on a screen. When you step into VR, you're part of the story. It's so immersive that psychologically you think that your brain is tricking you and you're letting it's tricking you into thinking you're actually having that experience.
I just want to make an observation, being in the computer business for my entire career. In the mid-70s, clearly 5 or 6, maybe 7 years before the personal computer really, really took off, there was something called the mini-computer revolution. And at that time, you're breaking away from these mainframes and taking smaller increments of processing power and giving the power to the users, and all these applications would spring up. And there was a magazine that came out every week. It was called Computer World. It was so exciting to read it back then because every week there were new applications that they were finding that they could do on a computer. Because remember, it used to be punch cards and these big mainframes and these big monolithic things, and nobody could touch them. And now users are getting their hands on these things. Well, I liken that to what I was reading last night. There was a VR or XR magazine that was talking about, hey, here's an application where Emeritus Airlines allows you to go choose your seat. You can actually walk through the plane and choose the seat you want. Or wait, here's another application. I mean, all these different stories. Here's another application of people with neurological disorders that can lower their blood pressure and can actually increase the quality of their life by going to a beach or someplace where it's very, very tranquil. So there are all these applications. And so it's not hype that this is going to change our world. Talk about some of the other applications that have caught your eye and how far-reaching all of this technology could be.
You know, for me, a couple things that really kind of sucked me into this amazing platform that's coming out. Google Earth VR was life-changing in the sense that it opened my eyes to see just how powerful this platform is. You can actually put on a headset and walk through the planet in a way that is like nothing before. So like you can go to Florence and walk the streets of Florence and it feels like you're there. And then you can go to the Alps, and then you can travel the world. And I just started to think about how this technology is truly democratizing experience. You know, the things that used to be maybe exclusive to people with means now are more broadly available and in a way that I think will really help the world for the better. And then the second is just along the lines of democratizing experience. We're kind of exploring this at the summit, the idea that it's not just the things that you can do and see, but the things that you can be. You know, so suddenly, you know, if you're challenged by your identity, like your gender identity, this is a platform where you can very safely and freely explore who you really are. And there have been really powerful experiences. It is a very powerful experience to go into virtual reality and to interact with another human being. Like Matt says, it's an experience. It's a memory that you create as if it happened, as if, you know, you actually did that thing. And that's what virtual reality is. It's starting to feel less like an artifice, but it's just another extension of reality.
And maybe to help people with phobias, to be able to, you know, a fear of heights or a fear of whatever, to be able to put them into an environment where you slowly introduce pieces of that phobia so that they can become comfortable and be able to work. I mean, I see a number of medical applications.
Oh, there are so many. And you know, if you go to any university, there's typically a team or two developing experiences or researching, how they can use, study the psychology of certain issues. You talk about phobias. There is actually a VR application available that lets you walk out on a plank, and you actually stand on a plank, and then it simulates you walking out off of a building edge and looking down. Most people can't do it. Most people end up crawling on their hands and knees, screaming, because it's so immersive. It's so they're so in the moment that they actually feel like if they misstep, they're going to fall hundreds of feet to their death. And so, yeah, you can confront things, fear of flying, fear of spiders, all those things you can confront in a very controlled environment to hopefully maybe overcome some of those challenges.
Maybe a spinoff cool reality radio. You know, we could spin cool science off and focus in on some of these things.
Yeah,
we're game. We want to be a part of that.
Okay.
Oh, great, great! Right down the hill too.
Just briefly, two of the speakers that are coming to the summit: Skip Rizzo from USC. If you're interested, check out more of the work that he's done. And David Eagleman is a neuroscientist. He consulted on Westworld. He's a best-selling author. He also founded a company that's built a haptic vest that allows auditory inputs to go into the vest to allow someone who has never had the ability to hear anything, their brain can decipher messages that were transmitted originally. It was an auditory, a spoken word, but the vest allows them to basically hear as if they'd had a cochlear implant. And this is technology augmenting human bodies. And David Eagleman, there's a TED Talk you can look up online from him. So he's going to be talking about some of those things. Skip Rizzo is going to be talking about some of those things, because we do see that having whether it's an exploration psychologically or actual therapeutic applications, all of that is being tested, as Burke said, in academic settings right now. And some of those things are being implemented.
Incredible. So we've just about run out of time here, but I want to give people an idea of what they're going to find. I mean, obviously, we've got all of these speakers who are scheduled, but will there be examples, you know, for people who have never experienced virtual reality, never had the goggles on? Will people be able to test out all these products? I want to walk out on the plank. I want to see if I can do it without getting on my hands and knees.
Yeah, definitely. We're going to have some of the leading tech that's out there, you know, augmented reality headsets from Magic Leap, which just came out. Really awesome way to see what it means to enhance your world with digital information in a spatial sense. We're going to have, you know, the latest virtual reality headsets from HTC, you know, wireless, tetherless experiences. We also have another cool thing. The Silicon Valley VR team is going to bring what they call the Reality Portal over, which is a giant 100-inch screen that is a portal between worlds. And what we mean by that is people at the summit, you know, while they're getting coffee, can look at the screen, and they can look, what they're seeing into is a portal into a virtual reality platform called High Fidelity, where people in High Fidelity from around the world can walk up to their screen in their virtual world and see you, and there can be a two-way exchange. And, you know, you can say, hey, what's, you know, I like your avatar, that's cool, those are cool cat ears you have on, and they can say, hey, I like your business suit, you know, or however you're dressed at the conference. Wow. Kind of blending, again, I think that's why people go to this term mixed reality, is because that's the world that they see that they're building.
Yeah. Hey, quickly, how much does it cost to register if just the average person off the street wants to attend?
Registration is $249 for the conference. There's also workshops on day one that's $45, geared more towards developers and technical artists.
Okay.
Matt Wilburn is the COO of Morph 3D, and Burke Fry is the VP of Innovation. The Virtual Identity Summit takes place at Canyons Village, November 6 and 7. Cool Science Radio will be there. We will have reports. And thank you guys for joining us this morning. Best of luck.
Thanks so much.
Thanks.
Okay. We shall return right after these messages. You're listening to Cool Science Radio. Stay with us.
Hi, this is Steve Roney, owner of Berkshire Hathaway Home Services, Utah Properties. I'm a proud resident of Park City and a loyal supporter of KPCW and all it does for our community. Our agents in Summit and Wasatch counties can be reached at any of our 30 offices or at our website, bhhsutah.com.
Hi, this is Brenda with Republic Services, your local source for recycling and garbage collection, and a proud sponsor of KPCW's This Green Earth. As you recycle, please remember, glass cannot